Well, good morning. I will be your third sermon, as Pastor Jeff has so kindly stated. And so I'm so glad to be with you all. The joy it is for me to spend time engaging in God's word is such a gift. It really is. And I believe that as we engage in God's word, we meet with the Lord. And as we meet the Lord, our lives are transformed by that. And so my hope that today is that as we encounter Jesus and continue in our series on encountering Jesus, that we would walk up going, I have seen the Lord. And my life is different today because of that. Amen? And so I'm going to take us into Mark chapter 3 today. And where there's an interaction with Jesus with a man with a withered hand. And I want to read to us from this passage. And then I'm going to pray. And we'll jump in. And so Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 1, this is what it says here. Again, he entered the synagogue talking about Jesus, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The word of the Lord. And so would you pray with me as we spend time here? Father, we are so thankful for this time already. How sweet it's been, our times of worship and singing of songs to you, O Lord, because you are worthy. Our times of prayer and the lifting up of our souls to you and ourselves to you, Lord, and engaging with you, listening to you. The time with community and family and mission that we have seen and the joy to be received in that, to see folks growing as disciples of Jesus and saying, I don't want to just keep it to myself. I want to see others become disciples of Jesus as well here and around the world. And so, Lord, as we spend time in your word, would you open the eyes of our hearts that we might behold wondrous things out of your law? And the greatest, the thing that all of the law points towards is your son, Jesus. So we long to see Jesus. Help us to see Jesus here today. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. May we be transformed from the inside out. And we pray this together in Jesus' rich and holy and awesome name, the only name that saves, and all God's people say. Amen. Amen. Broken, weary, weak. Broken, weary, weak. At the beginning of August 2022, those were the three words I could describe of myself as broken, weary, and weak. It was in year 4 of planting a church in Duluth, and that year, entering into year 20 of vocational ministry. And I had navigated through a few years of the hardest years of my life, deeply depressed, deeply navigating through issues of how I have been shaped by my family and culture. Even while navigating life as a pastor, as a Christian, I was in a place of depth that I had never experienced before in my life, and I didn't know what to do. I'd come back from a 3-week vacation and I didn't feel like I could even come back to the church I was ministering and leading. And so I had a decision. Either I'm going to share open and honestly with my leaders and my congregation about this, or I'm going to keep this hidden and just try to work this out on my own. You know, it's a hard place to be broken, weary, and weak. And I think for all of us in here today, if we are honest, we've experienced places of brokenness, haven't we? Places of weariness in our life, places where we feel extremely weak. And if we've asked ourselves the questions, what do we do in this place? Where will I go from here? And if we're all honest, we don't want to admit it to others. We don't want to share that with others because it shows this reality that we need help. I need help. I can't go forward on my own. I need help from God and from others, but I don't want to admit that because so much of what I've been told in my life, whether it's through your family or your culture or your background, or through your workplaces, or even in a place, the church itself, has said, hey, listen, don't be broken. Don't be weary. Don't be weak. You know, as a Korean-American pastor, you're told, hey, step into your call as a pastor. Step in with strength and with faithfulness. But when you experience brokenness and weariness and weakness, keep it to yourself. Those are the things that if you expose your scene in a different light, in a light that you don't want to be seen by your congregants, which I go, when I think about it now, it's like, oh, as a real person. Oh, I see. Right. Because we all deal with brokenness and weariness and weakness. I share about that, and I'll come to some of the conclusion of this story. Because the reality of things is that there is someone who wants your brokenness, your weariness, and your weakness. There's someone who loves you in your brokenness, your weariness, and weakness, and his name is Jesus. And what we see from this passage, there's an invitation to be broken, to be weary, to be weak, and to be honest about those places with him. To be honest and to come to him and to see if that from that honest place we can receive healing. That's where we're going to go here today. Does this sound okay? Okay. And so as we enter in here, it's important for us to know the context of what's happening, what's going on as we head into Mark chapter 3. You see, Jesus is in his active ministry, vocational engagement ministry within the life of the world around him, and there's nobody that's ever been like him. He heals the sick. He brings good news to the poor and to the weary. He infuriates the religious leaders. And yet in all of this, he continues to present out good news for those who could not make it on their own. This is Jesus. And so beforehand, as we enter into three, there's been an issue with Jesus, with religious leaders, and there's an issue of healing and doing work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath itself, Shabbat, meaning to cease, to stop in the Hebrew, is this institution that comes upon the creation of all things, that on 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, and all that is around us, humanity themselves, and on the seventh day, he rested. I was listening to a pastor who was talking. It's not like God needed to rest. It's not like he went, that was really hard work, y'all, and I'm sweating, I'm a little bit tired of here. He's like, he's God. He's God. But he described it like this, that it's like doing some gardening or mowing your lawn and then bringing a chair after you're done and getting your iced tea and staring and enjoying the work that you have done, right? There's an enjoyment that God receives on the Sabbath of seeing all that is done and is very, very good. So he institutes this rest as a gift to humanity that I want you to labor. That's true. Labor is good. Actually, you're called unto that. So if some of us here today are going, hey, listen, I'm all about that rest life, but the work side, I'm not so sure of. Y'all go back and read Genesis, okay? We're created for good work. We're created for work, but we're also created for rest. Continue to see the importance of rest. And we look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus 20, and where the Ten Commandments given to the people of Israel. And it's declared in this fourth commandment, hey, listen, I want you to remember the Sabbath day, and I want you to keep it holy. This is really important to the life of Israel. It's really important to the life of those who are God's creation, those made in his image. Hey, listen, it is an important thing for you to take a time of rest. And for them, they designated a day from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown to rest. Rest in the Lord. Cease your work. Remember that he is God. Remember that your work doesn't qualify you with God. God's work qualifies you with God. Rest. Enjoy. Heal. If we're honest in here, when we hear about Sabbath, when we engage about the Sabbath, there's some wrestling that's done, isn't it? That within our hearts, we might struggle with this idea, Lord, I can work and work and work, but you're really calling me to take time weekly to rest? And my answer to that is, yes, he is. It's a rhythm, it's a discipline, and it's worth fighting for. As one other pastor, a friend of mine, declares out, the beauty of the Sabbath is that we're not just looking towards the weekends, like we're working our ways towards the weekends. It's actually when you Sabbath, when you take time to rest in the Lord and say, God, you're good. And it's time to enjoy you. And I'm ceasing my normal work and I'm in resting in your grace and your love for me. You're enough for me, God. And as such, I am enough in you. When we actually do that and we eat good meals and we laugh with good friends, then we go, I now am ready to labor. That he says, we're supposed to actually labor out of our rest, but we get it backwards. So here, the Sabbath is a serious deal. It's so serious that as they're watching Jesus do his thing, and heal folks on the Sabbath and allow his disciples to pick grain and to eat it on the Sabbath. They're going, hey, listen, Jesus, you're breaking the law. And we're not okay with that. It's intriguing here that this interaction about the Sabbath comes to this place of understanding and fulfillment at the end of chapter 2, as he's having this conversation with these religious leaders about the Sabbath, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. What he's saying there is, hey, listen, I don't serve the Sabbath. Actually, the Sabbath serves me. You want to understand about the Sabbath and the right way to understand engagement and what the Sabbath is truly about, you have to learn from me about what the Sabbath is about. You've got it backwards here. I'm actually the one who's the fulfillment of the Sabbath. If you were to rest in me and trust me, you would experience true Sabbath rest. But they don't like that. It is blowing up their world. It's hard when Jesus blows up our world, isn't it? But it's exactly what we need. Amen. So here we are. Now we've reached chapter 3. And it says here, again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. It's common practice. Jesus was entering the synagogue. It's the Sabbath, and there's a time of worship in the temple, and the engagements there, and the reading of the word, and he was there. He was engaged in that work. And as he's there, there's this man that's present with a withered hand, and withered can be described as without any blood, dried up and shriveled, lifeless. Like there's no use for his hand. What we know about those with ailments or places that that they feel disabled within their body themselves is visible and known within that society is that they're seen as lesser, not as quite up to the same human value as those who are completely abled. And so therefore, he has had to live his life under that place of consistent shame from the people, or even feeling consistent shame within his own heart. What's wrong with me? Why am I like this? And yet he's here, he's at this temple, he's engaged in worship. And what's fascinating here is that the religious leaders know it. Like, we've seen this man coming in. He comes into worship. He comes in to engage. And you know what? Instead of thinking, how can we love him? How can we see him receive rest and restoration and healing? They're thinking, how can we use him? How can he be used in such a way that we can catch Jesus in the act? We're looking for a time to accuse Jesus. It takes a lot of work. This is the ironic part. It takes a lot of work to seek out one's demise. It takes a lot of work to plot out someone's downfall, which is contrary to the Sabbath altogether. You're supposed to rest. Hey, religious leaders, you're supposed to rest, but you're sitting there planning out how can we get Jesus to break the law so that we can kill him. Wow. Sin is insidious and deep and leads us to places that we don't want to go, but yet here they go. And so Jesus, knowing all this, in verse 3, he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. The man with the withered hand Jesus sees. The religious leaders see him as someone to be used. Jesus sees him as a man with value and worth and dignity because he's an image bearer of God. And he loves him and he cares for him. And that's how he sees each and every single one of us in here. You might feel like you're an outcast. You might feel like lesser today. You might feel like, hey, God, I'm not part of your fold. Why would you even care for me? I've messed up in this way or another. And I want you to know, here, just like Jesus sees the man with the withered hand, he sees you for who you really are and loves you. So he sees the man with the withered hand, and he tells him an invitation to come here. And in verse 4, it says this, and he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? Wow. These religious leaders were caught up in their rituals. They were caught up in their religiosity. They were caught up in their traditions. That even according to the Mishnah, which is these oral traditions and engagements as it deals with what it means to follow after the law, which isn't the word of God itself, they were caught up in ways to say, how can we indeed add to what is already there as a means for us to be super followers, super law-abiding citizens of the kingdom of God? And yet in all of that, they have moved far away from the purpose of the law. They have moved far away from the obedience to law. Because here, what he's saying is it lawful on Sabbath to do good or to do harm? He's saying, hey, listen, my heart's intent here is to do good. In fact, doing good on the Sabbath is good. Your intent on the Sabbath is to do harm. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? What's the answer, y'all? To do good. That's right. Not to do harm. So that deals with the man with the withered hand. But this next statement deals with them as it deals with Jesus. To save life or to kill. Do harm or do good. Do good. Save life or kill. He's got them in the act. He's got them where they're at right now. This reality of like, hey, I'm here to actually capture Jesus, to accuse Jesus, to call him out as a lawbreaker here. And Jesus knows that. Nothing gets away from Jesus. So he asked that question, and you would expect that they would give him a response, but it says here that they were silent. They were silent. And the response from Jesus is proper and is good and is holy. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And before I said the next part, you got to experience this reality that Jesus is so overwhelmed with anger as he experiences these religious leaders that don't get the law. They don't get the reality that they themselves are lawbreakers. And they think by adding more to the law that they would be able to fulfill it. But they're already lawbreakers. You're already dead in your sins and transgressions. You were born into that. You're this reality of being sinful. You've been living this out your whole life. And you've thought that by law keeping and by law abiding and by law adding, I can somehow make my way to God. So you can imagine the grief that he's feeling in his heart. They got it wrong. They've got it wrong. Because he doesn't want them to live there. He wants them to get to a place where they can look at themselves and see themselves honestly. I'm broken. I'm weary. And I'm weak. And I can't do it, God. So he's angry, he's grieved, and then he says to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. You know what it doesn't specify here? It doesn't say here that Jesus says, stretch out your withered hand. Jesus just says, stretch out your hand. Could you imagine if this man who's standing there in front of all these people says, I'm going to hide my withered hand, and here's the hand that's well. Completely well. Look at this, Jesus. Yeah, you told me to stretch out my hand. Here we go. I'm giving you the very best of me. I'm not going to show you what's broken. I'm not going to be honest here about what I need. Could you imagine if that was the response? But that's not the response here, is it? When he says, stretch out your hand, he stretches out his withered hand. Here's my brokenness. Here's my weakness. Here's the places of shame I've experienced in my life. Here's the places that I know I can't fix on my own. Here's the places that have kept me away from society in a way that I've longed for my whole life. Here it is. And there's something to be learned here. It's the same call for us in here. When Jesus calls us to stretch out what is broken, what is weary, what is weak, he's not saying, hey, be dishonest. Let's just cover it up and show me something that's, you know, hey, show me more of your money. Show me more of your popularity. Show me your good grades. Show me your grandkids, or show me your family. He doesn't say all that. He's like, hey, no, I want you to present to me what's broken and be honest. Because it's from that place and only from that place that we'll receive healing. There are so many of us that are here today that are in places where we're just hiding. Can we just be honest? We're just hiding the places of brokenness for a number of different reasons. And what we're seeing here today is that Jesus is calling this man and for y'all as well to stretch out what is withered and to trust him with it. Because what ends up happening here in this passage is as he stretched it out, his hand was restored. And it's almost like this Harry Houdini, but it's not. That's illusions. That's false. What we're seeing here is a real healing where a man who has no blood, all of a sudden blood is restored and muscles and sinews become workable. And you can see his hand moving around. And he's looking at it. He's like, it looks like my other hand. In fact, it's probably better than my other hand. And there it is. His hand is fully restored as he trusts Jesus with his brokenness. There was a time in August of 2022 where I heard the same call from Jesus. Will you trust me with your brokenness? Will you trust me with your brokenness? Will you be honest with me and then be honest with your people about where you're really at? And so I remember having a meeting with my leaders, telling them of how broken I felt, where I was really at. And I didn't know if I could continue on. And I thought there might be a moment where I would experience deep shame from them and condemnation. But when I trusted Jesus and when I trusted Jesus' people to do that, it was the exact opposite. It was love and care, and we love you, and we want to do what is best for you. What can we do to help walk with you in this time? And it ensued a process of sabbatical and engagement to the places where I had to be honest a few months later that I just didn't have capacity for another season to lead the church. So I ended up resigning in March of 2023, and then ensued a several-month journey where I was honestly very angry and upset at the Lord. But part of that journey with him was continuing to hear him say, hold out your withered soul. Hold out your withered self, and I can bring you healing. Would you trust me? Would you trust me? Would you surrender yourself to me? And it was in August of 2023 where I was sitting in my room, just broken, saying to him, I've run away from you. I'm tired. Where I experienced the voice of the Lord proclaiming out, hey, listen, I love you. Hold out your withered hand. Hold out your withered soul. It was a turning point for me where I began to experience the rest and the transformation and the healing that the Lord of the Sabbath was always intended to bring. Where the past few years of my journey of navigating back into being a pastor in ministry has been a deepening experience of trusting the Lord of the Sabbath. He wants to bring me rest. He wants to heal what is broken. Would you trust him with it? Would you trust him with it? Would you trust him with it? The same call is out for us here today. What are you hiding today that the Lord says, stretch out, reveal to me, surrender to me? What are you hiding that is broken, that he's calling to you to be honest with him so that you can begin a journey of transformation, healing, and rest with him? I know here today, so I want to be very careful about this. I know here we see an instant healing and transformation of a man's withered hand, right? But I also know this, y'all, that there are those who said, I have done that. I have given him my withered hand, and I am 20 years down the road, still longing for my day of healing and transformation, still longing for the full restoration of what my heart longs for and desires here. And I want you to know this, that God is not late in his timing. That although he may say not yet, it doesn't mean that the healing is not coming. And it doesn't mean that God won't use your journey to bless others as you go. I think about there's a sister in Christ, her name is Joni Erickson Tada, who's been a quadriplegic for decades and has longed for healing of her body. If you actually look up online, she just talks about her routine of morning, and it takes her hours and hours to get up and ready because she has to re-navigate through pain in order to get going. But part of this reality of longing for healing is knowing that God is going to heal her. She trusts that. She knows that. She just knows it's not yet. And that in the process of transformation, the process of waiting, the process of suffering, millions have been impacted by the gospel through her. When we are honest about our brokenness and we come to the Lord for healing, He might do it immediately. He might do it in a few years, but He will do it. He will bring about that healing. Amen? So we have two different types of responses here. One is surrender and trust, and the other one here is like the Pharisees. And the hardness of heart seek out to destroy and to refuse the mercy and the grace of Jesus. So as we close out, I want to invite us towards a response. Will we be those who respond like the Pharisee and the Herodian saying, hey, listen, I'm going to continue striving in my own power. I'm going to continue to hide what I'm really struggling with. I'm going to continue to present myself as strong, even though I'm very weak, which will only make you more bitter and make you only more unhappy in your life? Or are you going to be like the man with the withered hand who says, Jesus told me to stretch out my weakness, my brokenness, and my weariness, and I did it, and He brought healing to me. What will be your response today? Let's pray. Father, as we think through this reality of Jesus and who He is, that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, that He's the Savior of sinners, that those who were to come and trust Him and not depend upon our own righteousness, but trust in Him and His finished work would receive life and life to the fullest. As you think about who Jesus is, He's also the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one who tells us to cease in our work, cease in our work and striving to try to climb and to make our way back to God, because we can't do it. We're lawbreakers. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And to trust that His work for us on our behalf is enough. I pray that for us in here today, we would observe honestly and ask the hard questions. Where am I? Am I more like the Pharisee and the Herodians today? Who seek to just live life on laws and traditions and rituals and religiosity to kind of get our way through in our lives or society? To do more in order to be accepted, to do more in order to be loved? Or will we be like the man with the withered hand who says, I have nothing here but my brokenness. I've got nothing here but my brokenness, Lord. And to present that forward to You and say, here I am, I'm broken, I'm weary, and I'm weak. What will You do with this, Jesus? And to hear the Savior say, I've got You. I'm the one who can take all of that and bring healing. Will You trust Me? So I pray today and I pray this week there would be a radical move for us and Dunwoody and Abide and those around us, of people coming out of the shadow, coming out of the darkness into Your glorious light, exposing to Jesus and to Jesus' people the reality of our brokenness and experiencing mercy and grace and love and healing. Would You do that? We pray this together now in Jesus' name. Amen.